For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are blessed today with instruction from our Lord in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. And it's important that we have the right perspective, that we can draw spiritual sustenance out of this parable. And I'll take the way that it's set up is that this parable was spoken to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And so it shows us examples of spiritual pitfalls, and also shows us how we can come into a right relationship with God. So it's helpful to us in the spiritual life. We see one way that would be, or one wrong way to pull from the parable is if we were to see it as here's the good guy and here's the bad guy, because we don't want to come to a place where we're thanking God that I'm not like that Pharisee, right? That would be kind of ironic, wouldn't it? So, in other words, what are the pitfalls that we can see illustrated through the one who embodies spiritual pride? And that would be the Pharisee. The Pharisee is a good man. He is a virtuous man. He is a religious man, and among the religious elite, and he's doing a lot of things right. But we can see that there is pride in him, and that is where he begins to fall. Pride goes before his fall. He does not go home to his house justified like the other. And we see that his pride trips him up. There are many good things that he is doing, but pride spoils the fruit. Pride is the spoiler. And so we are warned against that. But again, what he's doing are, you know, good things. We can't say that it's not good to fast. It's good to fast. We can't say that it's not good to give tithes. It's a good thing to give tithes. And indeed, he is better than other men. And in fact, the prayer that he prays, "I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men are," is a prayer that we could say with the right heart. And it would be a solid prayer. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. Think about it. If a person said it with humility, "I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men are. Thank you that I'm not an extortioner, that I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer." We might end up with that phrase, you know, "But for the grace of God, there go I." We could say it in humility, "To God be praise and glory that I am not in a place, a lifestyle of sin. It's only by the grace of God that I'm not." True for me. Not only by the grace of God that I'm not. And so, praise be to God. You know, here's where we start to see that the line between good and evil doesn't cut between the Pharisee and the publican. The line between good and evil cuts across the heart of the Pharisee, and it cuts across the heart of the publican. They both can do evil. They both can do good. They both can be prideful. They both can be humble. But we see the Pharisee, in this instance, in his pride, and that, again, is what's tripping him up. We see, a problem. One of the problems we can discern from it is that he prays thus with himself. And so it looks like his prayers are ostentatious. They have the form of godliness, but they don't have the substance of godliness. He's saying the right things, but not on the right footing. And so even though he's saying, "I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men are, and I do this and I do that," he's not on the ground of humility. He's not grounded, as it were. And so, without being on the ground of humility, out of his pride, his prayers are going nowhere. I've heard it said that the door to heaven, one can only pass through on their knees. And so, he's not getting anywhere. You know, if his prayer isn't issuing out in "praise be to God," "but for the grace of God, there go I," if it stops at "I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men are," or like this publican, then we see a comparison where he is elevating himself above others, and pride is that way. I'm sure you know all about this, because all of us are prideful people in some measure. And how easy is it to compare ourselves to others and look good as compared to others? That's not hard to do. You know, we could be doing the right thing, and instead of simply going to God with that right thing and allowing this to be part of our relationship with God, we use it to elevate ourselves and judge others. An example we might find would, we had a church that was very kind to us and let us use their church for 3 years. It was a Greek Orthodox church in Scottsdale, and we started St. Nicholas Anglican Church there from 90 to 93. And one day I was setting up things up, and I went through the hallway, and I saw they had a list of their parishioners, and their giving was there on the list. But they weren't listed what was one thing. I mean, think about it. They published what people were giving to the parish. It was right there on the wall. The whole parish was listed. And the names were not listed alphabetically. They were listed by how much they were giving. The biggest donors at the top and the smallest donors at the bottom. Now, is it wrong for someone to support a church? That's not wrong. So maybe the biggest giver amongst them, you know, is doing the right thing. But pride would be, you know, a person would look at that list and go, yeah, my name's on the top, right? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Score. I'm better than the person on the bottom. And we know from the widow's mite that God looks upon the heart. The widow only put in two mites, but she gave in more than anybody else, even though there were some that were for show putting in big sums into the temple treasury. She gave in more because she gave her whole living. So maybe the widow's mite is at the bottom of that list, and the one who can afford to give lavish gifts and doesn't even notice, right? He's at the top. Obviously, that doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't show us anything. That's futile. And so if the Pharisee is just going, I'm good because I'm better than him, that goes nowhere. The commentator William Barclay had an example where he was taking the train out of London, and he saw a cottage in an open field, and it was beautiful. The sun was shining down on a whitewashed cottage, and it had this radiant beauty to it. It just sparkled, and he just thought, wow, that is just such a beautiful cottage. It was so clean and pure and beautiful. And then after his conference, he was coming back the same way, same train line. It was after a snowstorm. And he looked out and saw the same cottage out there in a field of white driven snow. And guess what? It looked dingy and it looked dirty. Same cottage. After the snow, it didn't look so good. And so if the Pharisee were humble, he would be going vertical and comparing himself to the perfect law of righteousness, which is the law of love, the law of liberty. And there he would see himself in a very different light than is comparing himself to others. We can always find somebody that is worse than we are. That's not hard. But that goes nowhere. And we're not supposed to compare ourselves to others. We are to compare ourselves to God. We are to be perfect. As your Father in heaven is perfect, so be ye perfect. And that really changes the equation, doesn't it? If I were to look at that list of givers and go, ha-ha, I'm a big guy, you know. I'm a pretty big guy in a small pond if I'm comparing myself to God, right? What if I compare myself to God, the giver? Where am I in that picture? In a very different place. So we can see how different pride is from humility, and we are to be humble. The one who exalts himself, well, he will be abased. The one who humbles himself, he will be exalted. So we see the Pharisee, he could be in a better place if he were humble. Not that what he's doing is bad. He's doing good things. In fact, we could say that we could be hopeful the publican would do those good things. Now, the publican, he is a portrait of a sinner indeed. Right, the Pharisee is a righteous man, a religious man. He is really on his game. He's making some mistakes because he's lost his footing. He's prideful. But the publican, he is definitely a sinner. The publicans were tax collectors, which meant that they had betrayed their people. They had sold out to the Roman Empire. They were helping the Romans skin the Jewish people by taxation. And I think the setup was that they could have a percentage of whatever they could extract from the people. And so if they were good, they were tough. And they were able to get a lot of money. They become, you know, this is a man that was not only a traitor to his people, so he's filthy that way, he's a sinner, but he's also filthy because he is gathering ill-gotten gain. So he's stained with filthy lucre, and he knows it. Here's a man who is in humility, is not denying any of that. He's not comparing himself to anybody else and say, well, at least I'm better than those other guys that are, you know, tax collectors. I gave somebody, you know, a little shekel the other day. I'm a good guy. No, he's not comparing himself to anyone, but going vertical, right? Not even lifting up his eyes. He looks down and smites upon his breast that he is, you know, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That shows him on the ground of humility. And though he be a sinner, yet God has the remedy for sin, like he has it for us. God has provided a remedy for sin that we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he will hear our prayers. God resists the proud, but he hears, opens his ears to those who pray with humility. And those who ask for his mercy are not turned away. And so this man goes home to his house justified rather than the other. Now, a couple of things we can see about their religious practice. Notice that the Pharisee, I think this is, you know, something we might gather up something from this. The Pharisee is all in his head. He's making a lot of calculations here. Think about it. He's thinking about where he's at in relationship to others. Not like this, you know, not an extortioner, not unjust, not an adulterer, not like this guy, you know. And I give tithes of all that I possess, counting that up too. I fast twice in the week. He's counting. You know, he's got a system and he's working it. It's all here. The publican, he's not up in his head. He's in his heart. He's right here. Think about that. The prideful one is in his head. The humble one is in his heart. And true religion has a lot to do with the heart. Not that it doesn't include the head. We have a reasonable faith. That means that when we come to faith, that illuminates reason, and our faith makes sense. It's a rational, you can understand it in a reasonable way. It makes sense. In fact, we might even say, along with the founder of our province, Bishop Morse, that God is our sanity. When we believe on God, then things finally make sense. God is our sanity. We have a reasonable faith, and we're supposed to engage our intellect. But it's not all about this. It's also this. So it seems to me the ideal person would be both the Pharisee and the publican as a composite. Bring the best of each together. The Pharisee is doing a lot of things right. He just needs some heart. He needs a heart. He needs to do it from that heart place of humility. Then his modus operandi of the religious life would not just, you know, end up in spoiled fruit spinning his wheels. Instead, it would go up to God. These things would be a means to an end. His rule of life would be a means to the end, which is communion with God. It would go somewhere if he had his heart in the right place. The publican, he's got his own things to work out. To this point, he's probably been ripping people off for a long time. He's been, if he's a typical tax collector at that time, he has been making a lot of money with rapacious greed. So here he is in a place of repentance now, but where is he going to go after that? It probably would be good for him to be like the Pharisee, to start fasting and praying and to start giving tithes. These are good things. These keep us close to God. When we pray with God, we're connected with God. We're talking with him. As long as we're not praying within ourselves, we're praying to God. When we're fasting, it brings us into a place of humility where we can be more attuned to spiritual things. When we are tithing or giving of a tithe, what is that but a practice of generosity and a way of trusting in God's provision? I trust that God will provide for me if in gratitude I give some of what he's given me back to him for his work. It's a faithful response. The publican would do well to do those things. He's been forgiven. Jesus forgave the woman caught in adultery, and he said to her, "Go and sin no more." And so the publican has a choice to make now. Leaving this temple place where he has made his humble prayer, begging for God's mercy and has received it, now justified, now what will he do? We don't know which way he will go. The parable ends. The real question is, which way will we go? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.